This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rich, I think I'm pretty much on the record as somebody who is not, I'm not as worked up over the Chris Paul contract as a lot of people are. Only because we knew that this is what it was going to be like once you got a year or two into the deal. Now, maybe it's happening. Maybe it's happening a little bit earlier than we all had hoped for. Maybe we were all hoping it was just that last year at $45 million where you're going, oh man, I don't know if I like this at all, paying $45 million for a 37-year-old point guard. That Chris Paul showed some visible signs of wear and tear, not to the point where he's a detriment out there. It's just he's not Chris Paul out there. He's a good player. I think he's a good player defensively. I think there's some things that he does in terms of being a floor general out there, especially with the second unit, that are really valuable for the Rockets. But I have always kind of gone into this Chris Paul thing knowing that this is going to wind up being a 5-year experience, and two or three of those years we're going to be a part of it where we're like, oh god, yeah, that was a big price that we paid to take a couple swings at an NBA title.
There's a remarkable undercurrent of conspiracy theories out there right now regarding the Rockets from a few different angles, and the Chris Paul situation is one of them. Gaining steam is that rumbling out there that part of the reason why the Rockets basically gutted Mike D'Antoni's coaching staff was to reduce his incentive to want to come back. That
if he quits, you don't owe him for the last year of his deal. You fired him, you owe him for the year that he opted
right
in. Yeah.
And the other half of that narrative is Tyronn Lue is waiting in the wings,
okay,
to take over this team.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, the conspiracy theory, if that's what you want to call it, regarding Chris Paul is that even though he's got this gigantic extension in place, 3 years, $124 million to go on his current contract, that the Rockets are exploring every avenue and making every possible phone call, sending every possible email to facilitate moving him and reworking this roster.
This has got to be the weirdest part for Chris Paul is right now. And that's saying something, Rich, because he has had a completely different role with this team than any other team that he's ever played on. Every other team that Chris Paul has played on, he's been the focal point of what's gone on with that team offensively. He's been the floor general out there. He's been the guy with the ball in his hands. And now his role on this team, and other than the rumblings that we heard at the end of Game 6 where the two weren't getting along, James Harden and Chris Paul, where there was a disagreement over ball distribution.
Yeah, those last two words are pretty important.
Yeah. But other than that, at the end of Game 6, by and large, the 2 years that the two guys have been together, at least from what we've seen on the floor, which is really 98% of what we have to go off of,
yeah,
is that Chris Paul has been okay with kind of taking what was normally his game and pushing it to the side to do what is obviously the more beneficial thing, which is to build the offense around James Harden. And then Chris Paul is the guy that, you know, every third or fourth possession takes some of the heat off James, handles those 10 or 12 minutes where James isn't on the floor with the second unit, all things that are really valuable to this team. So it's saying something that I am saying right now that this has to feel the weirdest for Chris Paul. Not the part where he's playing a completely different style of basketball, maybe not style, but a completely different role than he's used to playing, where he is truly the supporting actor to James Harden.
Yeah.
But this right now has to feel even stranger, and in some ways, Rich, an even bigger blow to the ego, because it's one thing to be the second fiddle to a guy on the court who's been the MVP of the league last year, and some would argue, I know you would, that he should be the MVP this year. I would too. I just don't think he's going to win it. But it's one thing for that to be the case, but it's another thing altogether for Chris Paul to be getting shopped around. And I don't mean shopped around. Look, he's been traded before. He was traded here. He was traded from the Hornets to the Clippers. But those were all situations where Chris Paul controlled the situation.
Right.
This is not that. This is Chris Paul being shopped around because ostensibly the team doesn't want him anymore.
Yeah, and this is Chris Paul reading what we're all reading, and that is credible NBA beat guys like Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the entire roster is available.
Yeah.
Last I checked, he's on that roster.
He is. I don't know if you are. I feel like more is being made out of what Woj tweeted yesterday than than probably is there, only because I feel like that's the MO Daryl Morey goes into every offseason with.
It is, but we don't get that tweet every offseason from somebody like Adrian Wojnarowski.
I understand.
And, you know, at the point in time at which this franchise finds itself, I think it is a bit of a surprise to think that there could be a major overhaul of the roster.
Why? Why is it a surprise?
Well, because the year before last, they won 65 games and went to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. They got healthy, and once they retooled their roster midseason, looked like that team and steamrolled into the postseason. Now, I know the ultimate disappointment was the performance against the Warriors, especially without Durant. But I didn't. That was not an indication to me that this franchise was on the verge of blowing this thing up because of that.
Well, no, and I don't know that I read Woj's tweet that they're going to blow this thing up. Everybody being available is different than like they're tearing it down to the studs and there's a fire sale going on.
Trading Chris Paul's blowing this thing up.
Look, as long as James Harden is here, you're not completely blowing things up. You're just changing the way you do things.
Right, like, but you have a hard time convincing me that what you're doing is advancing your cause toward a championship if you move Chris Paul.
Depending on what comes back in return, I can get with that. Like, I would, Rich, if you're going to ask me blindly, without knowing what's coming back the other end, if I feel this team's going to be better or worse by trading Chris Paul, I'm going to say worse. I know that the contract is what it is, but the fact of the matter is Chris Paul is the second best player on this team right now. So I can get with you on that. I'm just not, you used the word surprised. I'm not surprised at all that this is the type of stuff that's out there because of what the owner's been saying since the season ended.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The owner's a guy who's been shouting from the rooftop about change and we're not standing still and we're going to do everything we can to win a championship. To me, some of this that this is going on is some of the least surprising stuff to me, that there's this much smoke. I think ultimately it's going to be really hard for them to do something because of the contracts and because finding, and we'll get to the places Chris Paul can land in just a second.
And also because
it's going to be really hard to move him and it's going to be hard to make some of these deals that they're talking
about.
They have
no salary cap space to sign a big name free agent.
Right.
They do not have a first round draft pick. So the only way to make an improvement to this roster is to find a trade or multiple trade partners, and that remains to be seen.
Yeah. So here are, and this is a piece on hoopshype.com by Frank Urbina. Sorry, Frank, I'm mispronouncing your last name. But I liked your piece, and it seems like you've got some pretty good ideas about where to ship Chris Paul.
Yeah, good ones.
All right, so here's the first one. And I think it's interesting because some of these are just pull at the heartstrings type moves. But who knows? Maybe these teams will bite on it. The Charlotte Hornets, who I brought up before on the show. Chris Paul's from North Carolina. He played at Wake Forest. Charlotte could be on the verge of losing Kemba Walker in free agency. In some ways, Rich, Kemba Walker making third team All-NBA could have a ripple effect on the Rockets because now Kemba can get the Supermax only from the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden that emboldens Charlotte. If they're moved to keep Kemba Walker, who at this stage is a better player than Chris Paul, then Kemba Walker is going to have to think long and hard about leaving tens of millions of dollars on the table to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have existed had he not made third team All-NBA.
Well, Kemba Walker is going to want to have to stay in Charlotte, and the Charlotte Hornets are going to want to have to spend more money than they've ever spent to keep him there.
And they were a lottery team with Kemba Walker.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So the thinking is that if Kemba Walker is going to be moving on somewhere else, and he's been mentioned as a possible running mate for LeBron in L.A., that possibly the Charlotte Hornets could look and trade for Chris Paul, in part because he's still a decent basketball player, but also because he's from North Carolina and maybe it'd be a solid PR move. The names that would be involved in the deal.
Yeah, this is one of those rare proposals, Sean, that you could defend as actually making the Rockets better.
Certainly deeper because of the number of bodies you have coming back in return.
And depth's an issue for this team.
It is. Well, only because they only have X amount of guys under contract. I'm willing to trust Daryl that he's going to find a few guys to fill in. But these guys that they're naming in this deal, and I'll tell you the names in a second, are guys who are veteran, accomplished guys.
Nene's the only non-starter under contract.
Right. The three names in this deal that Urbina puts out there is Nicolas Batum, who is he's an outside streak shooter. You know, he's theoretically a guy who fits what the Rockets 3-and-D that they like.
3-and-D wing player.
Marvin Williams, same thing. And then Bismack Biyombo, who would be another big body to put behind Clint Capela, which is actually a need for this team. As bad as Capela was in the postseason.
Huge disappointment. Not the postseason, the Warrior series.
The Warrior series.
Because he got the better of Gobert in the Utah series.
Yeah, that's fine. But with the specter of the 82-game regular season along with the postseason, depth behind Capella, size depth behind Capella, has been an issue for this team. Nene was the one guy you could trust as a big to bring in off the bench. That's not a recipe long term.
I like this deal, especially.
And draft compensation, too. They're saying also protected draft compensation.
I like this deal, especially since it's that that $140 million off the Rockets' books.
It is. I'd have to go see what the contracts are for these three guys.
Because you can't have a good feeling right now about that $140 million.
No.
You just can't.
No. I'm going to assume that these three guys, Batum and Williams and Biyombo, all have less time on their deals than Chris Paul. I haven't looked it up yet. But I'm with you. Forget about what their contracts are. You could at least make an argument that the Rockets become, at the very least, a more intriguing group by bringing these guys in.
Yeah,
and with Paul.
Part of the post points out that it's where he grew up in the Carolinas. Yeah. It's an owner who is synonymous with the word Nike, and Chris Paul's a Nike guy.
Yeah, Michael Jordan's the owner of the Charlotte Hornets.
So. And then I think tongue-in-cheek, he mentions that the general manager, Mitch Kupchak, who once traded for Paul for about an hour.
Laker trade, they got blown out. The Rockets were part of that. They were supposed to get Pau Gasol.
But this is not the most far-fetched proposal that I've heard.
I don't know that any of these five are. Other than the fact that, we'll rapid-fire these other four. Like, these seem like reasonable deals. And I know people are going to roll their eyes, like, reasonable deals? Who's taking on 124 or 130 million bucks over the next 3 years, whatever
the
number is?
140, yeah, it's 124.
124 over the next 3 years. Yeah. Who's taking on those numbers over the next 3 years? Man, I guarantee you, Rich, the Rockets went into this Chris Paul thing, this max deal, this four-year max deal, with at least a sliver of an idea that they could move this contract if it turns out that it was something that they felt was impeding their ability to win a championship. Daryl Morey doesn't do things that have a 0% chance of getting out.
Daryl Morey doesn't do anything without an exit plan.
That's it. That's it.
He's never painted himself into a corner.
And now some exit plans have a lower percentage chance happening than others.
Yes.
But I don't think he does anything with a 0% chance of an out. The second team, the Indiana Pacers. This is one where I looked at him like, okay, I'm not as hepped up about this package of stuff for Chris Paul. Here's the thing. They have the cap space to where you don't have to get into a bunch of salary matching with the Pacers. And just not to go too deep on the salary cap, but if both teams trading are over the cap, you've got to essentially match the salaries within like 15 or 20%.
Yeah.
So it leads to one team taking back some bad contracts. The Pacers are not in that situation. They've got cap space where they could absorb Chris Paul if they wanted to into it. Doug McDermott, TJ Leaf, Alize Johnson, and protected draft compensation.
It's not as good a package as the Charlotte package, but there are a couple of decent shooters in
Dougie there. Dougie McBuckets.
Yeah. There are a couple of decent shooters in there in McDermott and Leaf. And
less hepped up about that deal.
Yes, me too. He also writes that...
probably Paul is too. I don't know if he feels like a real Indiana kind of guy.
He also writes that the net effect would give the Rockets, quote, some level of cap flexibility, which they don't have now, which, as they write, could make a follow-up move more likely than not.
Yeah. And you know, who knows what that follow-up move would be. Can you imagine playing in New Orleans, Los Angeles, and Houston, and then getting shipped off to Indianapolis?
Mm.
That would be quite the come down. The third team, and this is a pretty straightforward one.
I like this deal.
Boston Celtics. Chris Paul for Gordon Hayward. What do you think?
I like this deal.
It's not the same Gordon Hayward that signed that max deal in Boston when he broke his leg literally five minutes into his Celtic career.
Yeah, and he was disappointing in the playoffs, but...
He averaged 11 points a game last year.
Had a little bit of a rhythm going in the last month of the regular season where, you know, he gave you an idea that Gordon Hayward might still be in there. I'd be okay with this. I would absolutely be okay with
this. Well, I would. Here's where the deal makes some sense, is that clearly, you know, going forward, you'd be building around James Harden when it came to who had the ball in their hands. You know, that part goes away. And I think Hayward's game would complement Harden's game pretty well. You know, a guy who, you know, shoots those elbow jumpers, you know, Harden drawing some attention, dishing it to Hayward. Hayward's been an all-star. Like, Hayward has had moments as a good player. You kind of need to know you're getting something close to what the version of Hayward that was signing with the Celtics a few years ago, Rich.
Yeah.
But I'm for this one, too. And the other thing I like about it, Hayward has 2 years left on his deal. Paul has three.
He's a much younger player, obviously.
Well, and you're out from under it. If it's not working out, you're out from under it a year earlier than you would be with Paul.
Right. Much younger player, more upside. It's a pretty strong case that Chris Paul has begun the inevitable decline in his playing career, and this would be a swap of a couple of players who, when acquired, The hopes were very high, and those hopes were not realized.
The New York Knicks are the fourth team on this list. Yeah. Again, another team that has oodles of cap space.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about taking on terrible contracts from the Knicks. But you know they don't really specify in here what the compensation would be. It feels like to me, Rich, this is what you're doing if you're just trying to dump the salary.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
case they make with the Knicks, look, when you say, I don't know, well, what's your spirit behind the,
Nothing the Knicks really have to offer gets me excited.
That's why I think it's a salary dump. It's just getting out from under the contract.
Which is a step backward for the Rockets before they can get back to where they were a year ago.
This does not make them better in 2019, 2020. I don't agree with that.
I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on a deal like
that. Unless getting out from under that salary leads to another move to get out from under another salary, and now all of a sudden you've opened up enough cap space to where maybe you can go get Jimmy Butler, or maybe you can go get some other star player to pair with James Harden.
Maybe.
Who knows? The last one, and the least surprising of the teams on here, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, the banana boat buddies, getting LeBron back with Chris Paul together in L.A. and seeing if that can get them back to the playoffs. Yeah. I could actually see the Lakers having interest in that deal.
I could. Here's the problem, Rich, is the timing of this deal, because the Lakers are a team where you'd have to make the salaries work out, and the deal would have to be done before July 1st. If you want to get all those expiring salaries in, like Rondo and Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And the problem is free agency starts after July 1st. And my guess is, as much as LeBron is friendly with Chris Paul, Chris Paul's probably not his first choice to team up with to go try to win a title in L.A. The guys LeBron wants are going to be guys who are available after July 1st.
Yeah.
Right? Free agents.
Probably.
I just think the timing on that deal could get a little bit wonky.
Maybe.
And I don't know, depending on what you're getting back in return, if you're the right, unless there's a Kuzma or Alonzo Ball. Like, I don't know. All those guys that you're getting back are all salary fodder just to dump. I don't know what you're getting back in that deal with the Lakers that's making you better this year, other than maybe it's the precursor to another move.
And the Lakers are one of the biggest soap opera in sports right now with the whole Magic Johnson-Palinka stuff. Did you happen to see that the I think it was a tweet that Jeannie Buss liked on social media.
Here we go. No, I didn't.
Oh, these things mean a lot, Sean.
I'm aware, yeah. What does she like?
Jeannie Buss apparently liked a statement that Magic Johnson made. He answered a question, what would you have done differently as you look back in hindsight as president of the Lakers?
And with face-to-face?
He basically said, I would have gotten rid of Luke Walton and Rob Pelinka and hired my own head coach and general manager. The owner liked that.
Okay. See, that's what, when people laugh and they're like, yeah, who's taking Chris Paul's salary? A team like that
that's
is taking Chris Paul's salary. Like, that is a completely dysfunctional organization where somehow the Rambis family has a huge say in what's going on.
That's why I could see them having interest.
I think the Knicks and the Lakers, Rich, just purely from a train wreck standpoint, make a lot of sense. The Celtics one is intriguing to me just because the Celtics are a team that I think probably still feels like we can compete in the Eastern Conference. We can compete to at least get to the NBA Finals. What does Danny Ainge think of a team where the pieces in place are Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, I think Al Horford's still there, and it's Chris Paul who's the floor general. I know Kyrie Irving is a more sought-after player than Chris Paul generally around the league because he's a younger player. I'm not so sure that Celtics team doesn't become better with Chris Paul running the floor for them than with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's been a negative effect on that team. They made it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie Irving is he's a delightful player talent-wise. I think he's a losing player.
Yeah, because I always wish the worst for James Dolan, I want to see Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving team up on the Knicks.
Oh, God, that would be delightful. All right.
That has implosion potential like no other.
Oh, big time. Absolutely.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.